Welcome to Minnesota Military Radio. I'm your host, Tom Lyons. On today's show, we're going to learn about a nursing partnership between the Minneapolis VA Healthcare Center and the University of Minnesota, and we'll get an update from the Minnesota Military Appreciation Fund. But first, it's time for Generally Speaking, a weekly message from the Adjutant General of the Minnesota National Guard, Major General Rick Nash.
During the month of April, the state of Minnesota takes time to recognize the month of the military child. The purpose of this special month is to emphasize the important role military children play while a parent or an important adult in their life is serving. We are learning from our children that a life for a military child isn't the same as for their peers. They have a unique set of pressures as their loved one is deployed. The children worry about a loved one in harm's way. They also endure extra stress both at home and in school when a parent is gone for extended periods of time. While many of our military youth are part of the Minnesota National Guard family and call a Minnesota community home, some have parents in the active duty or reserves and may face numerous moves as a result of their parents' assignments. The worry, stress, and moves all make normal childhood activities difficult. It is estimated that over 15,000 children in Minnesota have been affected by a parent's deployment. During the month of April, Governor Dayton will send a military child a letter of gratitude in honor of their service and sacrifice. I encourage all military parents to register their sons and daughters to receive a letter from the governor. It's a simple process that will warm the heart of your child and make them feel extra special for enduring their role in your military family. To register your child, visit beyondtheyellowribbon.org and click on the events and deals.
Thank you, General Nash. For more information, please go to MinnesotaMilitaryRadio.com. We're joined in this first segment today by two nurses from the VA Nursing Academic Partnership from the Minneapolis VA Healthcare Center, Christina Anderson and Colleen Hamill. Christina and Colleen are VA nurses with academic appointments at the University of Minnesota School of Nursing. They supervise the clinical training of 40 nursing students at the VA Medical Center. Ladies, welcome to Minnesota Military Radio.
Hi.
Thank you. It's great to be here.
Christina, let's start with you. Can you tell me, how did you get to the Minneapolis VA healthcare system, and how long have you been in training to be in your current position?
Yeah, it's a great question. I guess you could say it must have been fate, because I started at the Minneapolis VA when I was still a student in nursing. And when I graduated with my bachelor's degree, I started working in long-term care there. And that really it really stimulated an interest for me to go back to school and get my master's degree in nursing education, which I graduated with in 2013. And then this position with the VANAP, the VA Nursing Academic Partnership, opened up in the summer of 2013. So I was really excited to be able to use my nursing education degree and come on board to teach these students more about veteran-centered care.
Yeah, and Christina, I understand you have some family members that served in the military.
I do. My grandfather was an Army sergeant in World War II, and he was overseas and saw active combat there. And my brother is a captain in the U.S. Air Force out in Colorado Springs. So I'm just proud to lay claim to both of those family members serving.
So that led you to helping other veterans.
It really did. It really did. It's, I always tell people, we love our vets at the VA, and I'm just so glad to be able to serve them just because of how they've served us.
And Colleen, can you tell us a little bit about how you got here?
Well, I joined the Minneapolis VA about 6 years ago in 2010 when we relocated up to Minneapolis from Indianapolis. I started in the intensive care unit at the Minneapolis VA and joined the VANET program in 2014.
And VANAP stands for VA Nursing Academic Partnership?
Correct.
Ladies, if you don't mind, we'll try not to use too many acronyms today because some of our listeners might not understand what we're talking about. But I know it's part of your vernacular out at the VA, and the veterans probably understand part of it, but a lot of folks don't. So, Christina, can you tell us, this program, I understand, goes back to 1977 with the partnership between the VA healthcare system and the University of Minnesota?
Yes, so the University of Minnesota and the VA have had a longstanding clinical nursing partnership since 1977. And then this proposal that was submitted in 2013, the leaders, I believe, on both sides of the organization just felt would really strengthen that partnership. So it's a great program. We take 20 students of the U's and we put them in their junior and senior year clinicals at the VA. So for both of those years, and with the hopes that we will get to hire them after they graduate and retain them.
Now, Colleen, I want to follow up with you. When she says we take the students and put them through their clinicals, what does that mean?
So when the students do all their clinical experiences at the VA Medical Center, this includes their mental health rotations, their medical surgical rotations. So basically what they're doing is they're caring for our patients. We're teaching them how to care for veterans at the bedside. So we take them as educators and we teach them all the different aspects of the hospital and how to care for our patients.
So you've got a full service medical center out there and you've got a lot of veterans coming to see you. So these nursing students can get exposure to everything they need during their education right there at the VA.
Oh, that and a lot more. With this program, we've actually integrated a lot of veteran-centric care into the University of Minnesota's School of Nursing curriculum. So not only are these students learning at the bedside about how to care for veterans, we're actually teaching other students how to care for veterans as well.
We're speaking with Christina Anderson and Colleen Hamill from the VA Nursing Academic Partnership at the VA Healthcare System in the Twin Cities on Minnesota Military Radio. And Christina, I want to come back to you. It seems that I talked to the director of the Minneapolis Healthcare System once a month on the show, and I think he told me that there's about 1,000 nurses out at the VA Medical Center and that you have to hire something like 100 a year just to keep up.
I would trust his numbers. And we actually had our first graduating class with VANAP last year in 2015. We hired 5 out of the 20 that were with us. And so this year we hope it's more. We have a really big focus on recruitment efforts and getting these nurses to come work for us. So
15 got away?
15 got away. And, you know, I think some of it's just kind of life circumstances. Some wanted to go elsewhere throughout the country. Some were going overseas for missions, that sort of thing. But we thought we actually did well with 5. So 25% of our cohort was retained for the first year. So,
Colleen, the last time I had the director on, I asked him if he had any openings out there, and he said, yes, he's looking for nurses.
Yes, we are looking for nurses. Obviously, we'd like to hire our students that are graduating, but we're also looking for experienced nurses out there for a lot of different areas, especially like critical care areas. It's a great hospital to work for. We have the same benefits as any other area, plus some that are kind of unique to the VA system. When you talk about the Veterans Health Administration, it's a huge system throughout the United States. There's over 1,500 different medical centers, which one benefit of working for the VA is that you can transfer to anywhere in the United States. So even if you started being hired here and you wanted to go move to Florida, you can go work at the VA there and retain all your benefits. So it's a great place to work. We care for our veterans, and they're everywhere. They're all over the country. So
you can transfer within the system once
yep.
you're in. Christina, you've been out there for quite a while. How's it working with all those old veterans that are out there?
Oh, it's great. I can remember when I first started working at the VA, and I remember I babysat for a family where the dad was an Army veteran, and he just said, you know, you're going to love it. And actually, his wife was an internal medicine doctor, and she'd gone through some of her training at the VA. And she's like, the guys are just very easy to work with for the most part. Sometimes you have the difficult patient that you can find anywhere, but just very willing to work with nursing staff, and they're good group of patients to work with.
So most of the patients, since they've been in the military, usually kind of follow the rules and do what they're supposed to.
Most of them, I said.
I didn't say all.
Well, most of them that are there, but there's always those few outliers, right?
Like I've told this story on the show before, but I go out there. I am a patient. In one of the scariest rooms I've ever seen is the blood draw room when it's full of veterans. It reminds me of some of those scenes in movies where you've got all of these weird characters in there. Some of the most beat up veterans you've ever seen, but they're all in there. And when their name's called, in they go and out they go. And by the way, you can't hardly feel it when they take blood out there.
Oh, they're good down there.
They are good. But that's an interesting room and it's something to see. So Ladies, we're going to have to take a short break. When we come back, I understand you've got one of your students that's in the program with you, and we're going to introduce him to the audience and talk a little bit more about this partnership between the University of Minnesota and the Minneapolis VA healthcare system that helps train nurses. This is Minnesota Military Radio. Please stay with us. We'll be right back. Welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio. I'm your host, Tom Lyons. We've been talking today about a nursing partnership between the Minneapolis VA healthcare system and the University of Minnesota. And we've got a studio full of nurses and a student nurse. We've been visiting with Christina Anderson and Colleen Hamill, who are nurses with the academic appointments at the University of Minnesota School of Nursing. They supervise the clinical training of 40 nursing students at the VA Medical Center. And Christina, what I didn't ask is, are you actually training and teaching student nurses now as opposed to taking care of patients?
Yes. So that is my role at the hospital right now. It is primarily teaching the students and then getting to interact with the patients while I'm doing that.
And Colleen, you've moved into that same role?
Yep, same thing. So we still take care of patients. It's just that now we have students with us when we do it. So they get like a two-for-one deal is what I always say.
And you're same smiling. You're both smiling. That must be fun.
Yeah, it is fun.
All right, Colleen, one of the things I forgot to ask you earlier is, why were the University of Minnesota and the Minneapolis VA selected to be part of this national program?
Well, with this program, we had to submit, actually, to be part of the program. There's actually about 25 different VA nursing academic partnerships throughout the United States, and Minneapolis is just one of them. The Minneapolis VA chose to go with the University of Minnesota because we have had such a long relationship with them, like Christina was saying, since 1977. So when they were looking at universities to partner with for this program, the university had a lot of programs that were in line with the VA, including being academic excellence for gerontological nursing, as well as integrative mental health nursing as well.
So part of this program's the objective is to train new nurses and hopefully keep them at the VA as you move forward.
Yep. So there's two really big goals, and one is to increase the amount of nursing students that can actually be admitted to the university, which then allows the university to graduate more nurses over the course of the program, which then helps the entire area increase the amount of nurses. We have so many nurses retiring. So that helps the whole general area, as well as having, so for the VA employees that are part of this program, we also go over to the university and we teach all the nursing students about how to treat veterans. So that's kind of a whole nationwide program that we're trying to get out.
So it's back and forth that takes place in both locations.
Yep, it's a very collaborative effort.
Christina, in this segment, you brought along a student nurse. Did you pick a good one to bring up with
you
today?
We did. We did pick a good student to bring along with us. Trevor Johnson is joining us, and he actually has been a VA employee since 2011. He started at the hospital as a certified nursing assistant, and then in that time decided to go back to nursing school, and it just so happened he chose the U of M, and he has been able to be a part of our VANAP program. So he's currently still employed by the hospital as a Valor student, and we're happy he can be here with us today.
Trevor, welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me. Appreciate it.
Now, I understand you're a veteran of the United States Air Force.
Yes, 5 years. So.
And what did you do in the Air Force?
I was a fuel specialist, so anything from refueling planes, helicopters, lab analysis, jet fuel, make sure it's up to spec.
And you had a medical discharge from the Air Force?
Yeah, my lungs got a little messed up. I was allergic to one of the additives they put in fuel, and it's just something that happens. It is what it is.
So how did you get interested in nursing?
I moved up to the cities after I got discharged, and I knew I had to go to school. I didn't know what I wanted to go to school for. So I originally, photography was always a hobby of mine, so I had my own professional photography company for about 3 years in the cities.
And you moved from Wisconsin, so you're a Green Bay fan.
I am a Green Bay fan. Don't hold it against me too much.
All right, we'll skip that part. Go ahead.
And so after doing it for 3 years, I knew I needed something more reliable. I was getting married. And so when one day I was at an appointment at the VA and just working with a lot of the nurses that we had, it was just everybody was really nice. And it just kind of hit me when I was out in my car. I was leaving and I was like, I could probably do that. I was like, I could give that nursing thing a shot. So I looked into it more. And that's when I got my certified nursing assistant, which is kind of the first step. And then I wanted to do that to test the water, see if I would like nursing. And I actually love it. I love helping people, being around the vets. I'm around my own breed. So I really enjoy it. So then I applied to the U, and then the VANET program came along, and it was just perfect fit.
So how much education is necessary to become a nurse?
For the program at the University of Minnesota, it was a four-year program, so you get your bachelor's of science degree in nursing. I got my CNA before that, and then I had an associate's degree before that.
And ladies, you went on to further training. You got master's too, don't you?
Correct.
That's true.
So are there different levels for nurses or just different levels for what you want to do?
There are several different levels. So you can do a two-year degree, nursing degree. You can do a four-year bachelor's degree for nursing, as well as master's degrees. They have doctorate degrees, and you name it.
So, Christina, I want to ask you this. The role of nurses has changed greatly in the last 40 years that I've been doctoring.
So true.
And it seems like nurses are being trusted to do more and more of the care for the patients.
Yes, yes. We are tasked with a lot of different responsibilities. So I think, too, you know, that's why there's such a huge push for the four-year nursing degree, is so that all of the information and responsibilities that we need to know in order to do our job are being covered during that period of time.
So you're really partnering with the doctors these days?
Yes, I would say so. There's a big emphasis on interprofessional collaboration, communication, teamwork that the University of Minnesota is really emphasizing through this partnership. We actually have our VANAP students going through interprofessional simulations at the hospital, so they get to interact with med students and nurses, sometimes pharmacy students, to go through simulated scenarios caring for patients and learn from each other, which is a really great thing.
This is Minnesota Military Radio, and we're talking today about the VA Nursing Academic Partnership between the University of Minnesota and the Minneapolis VA Healthcare System. And Trevor, you were over there shaking your head when we were talking about partnering with the doctors and taking on more and more responsibilities. How do you like that part of it, and how do you like working with veterans?
I mean, I love working with veterans. It's never a dull moment at the VA. You work with every single kind of breed. I'm a Valor student on 2L, which is a post-surgical ward, and so we get a little bit what they're there for, their surgery, and then they also usually have some sort of medical condition on top of it. And so what we do differently at the VA is we have those, they're called value students. They're medical students that are usually in their first year, and so we partner with them and we go through scenarios. We go through heart attack scenarios, falls, just about any scenario that can happen in a hospital, we go through it. And it's nice to have that communication because you kind of know some of the doctors then as you're going into practice.
So how do some of those old guys I saw in the blood draw room, how do they get along with you when they come out of surgery? Do they pay attention?
Oh, yeah. Absolutely, they do. I think a lot of them, they listen well. And I think when they have some of the veterans, when they realize that they also have a nurse that's a veteran, I think it just exemplifies that trust, and they're a lot more trusting what you have to say. They pay attention a little more, and they kind of, I don't want to say do what they're told because it's not the right verbiage to use, but I mean, they follow directions.
Sir, yes, sir.
Exactly. Yeah, exactly.
Well, Trevor, I'm going to put you on the spot. How much time do you have left in this program?
50 days.
And are you going to stay with the VA when you're done?
That's the plan.
Attaboy. Attaboy. I like it. Good to have you here today.
Thanks for having me.
Colleen, we just got a couple of minutes left. Nurses. VA is always looking for nurses.
Absolutely. Like I said earlier, there are lots of positions open. We're always looking not just for new graduates. We do hire new graduates, but we're also looking for experienced nurses. It's a great place to work. We have great benefits. Like I said, you can travel throughout the country and work at other VAs and keep all those benefits with you.
Christina, you've been at the Minneapolis VA longer than these two.
Yeah.
You like it there? Any nurses that come out and join you, they're going to enjoy it too?
They're going to enjoy it. I can remember when I was in my training, and I remember the educator saying, you know, once a VA nurse, always a VA nurse. And so far, that's held true for me. So I think, you know, we can do even more getting more nurses in there. So
if there's any nurses out there looking for a great place to work, the Minneapolis VA Medical Center is a good place. And you have a lot of volunteers out there that do a great job too, don't you, Colleen?
Oh, yeah. I think Christina was telling me today that we actually have more volunteers than nurses, which is pretty amazing.
Well, that's great. Got to take care of my fellow veterans out there. And and I know that the care that I've gotten out there has been tremendous. And thanks to all of you for that. We're about out of time. Any final thoughts, Christina? I'm going to give you the last 30 seconds.
Thanks, Tom. It's just been great to be here. It's been great to get the word out more about the VANAP partnership and program, and we hope to see more students in our program as the years go on.
And VANEP is the VA Nursing Academic Partnership between the University of Minnesota and the Minneapolis VA Healthcare System. Ladies, Trevor, thanks for joining us today.
Thanks.
That was Christina Anderson, Colleen Hamill, and Trevor Johnson from the Minneapolis VA Healthcare System on Minnesota Military Radio. Please stay with us. When we come back, we're going to get an update from the Minnesota Military Appreciation Fund. Today's Yellow Ribbon Company Spotlight is Dakota County Technical College. The college is dedicated to supporting military-connected students and employees. They have partnered with local community networks to provide volunteers to assist with community support efforts. The college identifies their veteran students and connects them to specified resources, such as their Yellow Ribbon Entrepreneur Initiative. They also have offered space to local military units for Yellow Ribbon reintegration and training events. Dakota County Technical College has been a Yellow Ribbon company since August of 2012 and is honored and proud to be making a difference to service members, veterans, and their families. Welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio. I'm your host, Tom Lyons. In a moment, we're going to get an update from the Minnesota Military Appreciation Fund. But first, it's time for the Commissioner's Corner, a weekly update from the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs. Now here's Commissioner Larry Shalitow.
The Minnesota Veterans Initiative is proud to honor one extraordinary female veteran annually and is currently taking nominations. The Minnesota Women's Veterans of the Year Award will recognize a female veteran who has served honorably and is a community leader. If you know of a woman veteran to nominate, email womenveteransinitiatives@gmail.com. The deadline for nominations is March 31st. This award is part of the ongoing effort to honor women veterans here in Minnesota. This award will be presented at the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs Salute to Women Veterans Twin Cities event in June 2016. Again, to nominate a veteran, email womenveteransinitiative@gmail.com.
Thank you, Commissioner Shalitow. For more information, please go to minnesotamilitaryradio.com. Joining me now is Barry Winslow, who is a member of the Board of Directors of the Minnesota Military Appreciation Fund. And Barry, welcome to Minnesota Military Radio.
Thank you so much. I very much appreciate you having us here.
Barry, I understand that you served in the military from back when.
Oh, yes, I did. I was a 1969 graduate of Ohio State University's ROTC program. So I served in the Army for almost 3 years, exiting the Army after Vietnam as a captain with my branch was Army Intelligence.
Army Intelligence, that's kind of one of those funny terms, isn't it?
I've heard that's an oxymoron joke many times.
And Barry, I understand also that you had a great career with TCF Financial.
That's correct. I was there more than 25 years, retiring as vice chairman of the board.
So you've had a good business career. You had a nice little career in the Army, and you've also been a member of the Board of Directors of the Minnesota Military Appreciation Fund since 2008?
That's correct. It's been a great honor for me and very gratifying.
Barry, can you tell our listeners how did that start and how long has it been around?
Well, the Minnesotans Military Appreciation Fund was started in the summer of 2005, and it was founded by a group of business and government leaders and was led by Mr. Gene Sitt. Gene was the chief executive officer of Sitt Mutual Funds, and he and his group who founded the organization wanted to make sure that that today's veterans were honored and appreciated and perceived in a much more positive light than the Vietnam veterans were, and he thought it was important to found this organization.
And the purpose of the organization is to provide some grants to...
Well, the purpose of the organization is to thank, support, and honor Minnesota veterans, whether they be in the National Guard, the Army Reserves, or their full-time active duty service members who have served in a combat zone since 9/11, as well as their families. And we simply want them to know that they're appreciated. We want them to know we're there to support them and to say thanks. And the way we reflect that is we provide a grant of $500 to each service member who has served in a combat zone, as well as much more substantial grants, up to $10,000, to those service men and women who were wounded in a combat zone, as well as to the families of those service members who unfortunately didn't return.
Barry, this is a little reminiscent. I seem to remember 4 decades ago, but There was a bonus for serving in Vietnam. Seems to me I got a check from the state.
There was many states had those programs, but they don't exist anymore. I got one from the state of Ohio when I returned as well. It wasn't $500; it was less than that. But this actually is a unique program in military support organizations in the country. There really are not any other state specific privately funding organizations who support the military who do this.
So this particular fund, the Minnesota Military Appreciation Fund, is available for active duty guard and reserve from who live in Minnesota. Is that the criteria?
Well, not only who live in Minnesota, but are Minnesota natives. So who have lived in Minnesota for a while, or who are originally from Minnesota and now may be serving in active duty or serving around the world, but basically Minnesotans is our focus.
So that would cover those Minnesotans that maybe stayed in and retired, and when they retired went to another state that didn't tax their retirement fund, but they're still eligible to get your grant money from the MMAF.
Yeah. Yes, I believe so.
Barry, I know that there's a specific group of service members who served, I think, between 9/11 2001 and the time you started 2005, who have been underrepresented in terms of applying for this grant. Is that correct?
Yeah, that's correct. We try to put together the numbers of the total Minnesotans who would be eligible by getting data from the various public sources that are available, but it's difficult to get that information accurately for those Minnesotans who are currently serving on active duty. And we also have found that there's many folks living in Minnesota today who we think would be eligible for these grants, but for some reason or another have not applied.
So, Barry, there's going to be people all over Minnesota listening to this interview this weekend. Who's eligible for a grant that maybe hasn't applied yet?
Well, it would be someone who served in any of the armed forces, in any of the branch, in an area that's been combat or hazardous duty pay designated since 9/11 of 2001.
And what's the process? What do they need to do to apply for this grant?
Well, what they need to do to apply for the grant is the first thing they should do is they should go to our website, which is mmaf.org, and there's a link there that they can complete the application, and it gives them the information where to forward the application. And if for some reason that they want clarification or they have questions, they can contact a gentleman. His name is Joseph Binnick, and he is the project director for the Minnesotans Military Appreciation Fund. And he can be contacted at 612-359-2516. And Joe can walk them through the process. He's very experienced at doing that. We have awarded since we started, a substantial number of grants. We've awarded we've awarded 16,250 grants, totaling about $14.1 million since we started.
It's a lot of money, Barry.
There is, and there's still money available for deserving veterans out there in Minnesota.
So if you're active duty guard reserve, you've served overseas in a combat zone, and you haven't gotten this grant from the Minnesota Military Appreciation Fund, go to mmaf.org, fill out the application. Whether you're entitled or not, they'll figure that out as soon as you fill it out, and they've got a bunch of money, and they want to get it to you, right?
Yes, sir, that's correct.
We're speaking with Barry Winslow from the Minnesota Military Appreciation Fund on Minnesota Military Radio. Now, Barry, I understand that you've got an annual fundraising dinner coming up.
Yes, it's like most nonprofit organizations, we have two or three events during the year where we rely on those events for a significant amount of our fundraising. And our major fundraising event is a dinner and a program that we hold each year. And it's focused, as you might suspect, on military affairs, national security, and global strategic issues. Some of the past keynote speakers we've had at the event have been folks like Tom Brokaw, John McCain, General Stanley McChrystal, a Medal of Honor recipient from the Vietnam era named Jack Jacobs. This year's event is going to be held on Tuesday, May 3rd It's going to be at the Hilton Hotel at the Minneapolis Airport. And the event begins with a reception at 6 p.m., followed by dinner at 7 p.m. And one of the things we do in this event is that for those corporate sponsors or people who buy entire tables, there are 10 folks per table, but we always have a military couple at each table. So there's at least two military personnel at each of the tables.
So this event is May 3rd at the Hilton Minneapolis Airport, starting at 6 o'clock. And how do the corporations contact you? Do they go to mmaf.org?
Yeah, they go to mmaf.org again, and they once again, it'll be obvious there to follow the links, or they can also once again call Joe Binnick, whose number I just gave you. And I think this year's program is going to be particularly topical and current. Because the title of the keynote speech this year is going to be How to Deal with ISIS, which obviously is in the news more and more every day, unfortunately. And the speaker is a gentleman named Dr. Stephen Biddle. He is currently the senior advisor and fellow for defense policy on the Council of Foreign Relations. And he has been on the ground in both Iraq and Afghanistan many times. He was a senior advisor to General Petraeus and General McChrystal, and he was actually awarded the U.S. Army Superior Civilian Service Medal for his time there. So he's not an academic who just talks about it. He's an academic who has done it and participates in policy implementation and formulation.
So another great speaker, good topic, May 3rd at the Hilton Minneapolis Airport. Go to mmaf.org, and you can find all the information to buy a table and help raise some funds. And Barry, there's been a lot of things in the news the last few months about certain organizations not being very efficient with the way they run. And I know that the MMAF is pretty darn efficient. What's your expense ratio? People like to know these things.
Yeah, we, and particularly in light of some of the things that have been in the news lately, we're very proud of our expense ratio. More than about 91%, I should say, of all of the dollars that we raise go directly to the grants that we give to Minnesota veterans. So we have a very, very low expense ratio. It's under 9%, obviously, if you do the math. And furthermore, the entire expense of our upcoming fundraising dinner that I was just speaking about is underwritten by SIT Mutual Funds. So 100% of the dollars that we raise at this dinner will go directly for grants. There will be no expenses removed from it.
Very good. So once again, go to mmaf.org if you're eligible for a grant, and go to the same website if you want to join this dinner on May 3rd at the Hilton Minneapolis Airport, mmaf.org. We're speaking with Barry Winslow from the Minnesota Military Appreciation Fund. We have to take a short break. When we come back, we'll review who's eligible for those grants. Once again, please stay with us. We'll be right back. Welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio. I'm your host, Tom Lyons. We've been talking to Barry Winslow, who is a member of the Board of Directors of the Minnesota Military Appreciation Fund. And we've been talking about that fund. It's been around since 2005, and it's given out just a boatload of money to thousands and thousands of our veterans, active duty, guard, and reserve, who have served overseas. And Barry, can we go through that eligibility criteria one more time?
Yes, the eligibility criteria is that you were a Minnesota resident at the time that you served in a combat zones since 9/11 up to today in any branch of the armed forces.
All right, and if you are eligible under that, you have to go to mmaf.org, and you'll find an application form there. Fill it out, send it in, and the board of the MMAF wants to send you a nice check.
Yes, we certainly do. We want to honor the service of all Minnesota veterans.
And Barry, we talked about the fact that before you got started, between 2001, 9/11, 2001, and 2005, there were a lot of service members that were deployed overseas because of the things that happened. And because that was before you were around, you're having trouble locating and finding those Guard and Reserve members in active duty from Minnesota. And there's a whole lot of those that probably aren't aware or weren't aware that they're eligible for this grant for serving.
Yeah, that's true. And we know for a fact that not everyone who is eligible and who served during those periods has applied for a grant. And our goal, which we probably will never hit, but our goal is to provide grants to 100% of those folks or their families, as the case may be.
And for our listeners, Barry and his board really want to give out these checks. So go to that website, mmaf.org, and fill out an application and help him fulfill his goal of getting those grants out to 100% of those that have served.
Yeah, we have passed out 16,250 grants or so to date, and we would rapidly like to make that 20,000 grants and or more for everyone who's eligible.
That's great. Now, Barry, I know that you have a couple of big events each year, and we talked about an event coming up on May 3rd at the Hilton Minneapolis Airport, and it's your annual fundraising dinner.
That's correct. And this year we have a very interesting speaker, Dr. Stephen Biddle, who's been an advisor to both Generals Petraeus and McChrystal, who were the theater commanders in Iraq and in Afghanistan. And he's actually actively participated in the ground there, participated in strategy formulation of how to deal with the things that are going on over there. So we're looking forward to that, and I think we're going to have a lot of interest in it this year.
So if the corporations want to buy a table, they can go to mmaf.org and buy a table and go out to this annual dinner, and you're going to have a great speaker again this year.
That is absolutely correct.
All right, Barry, we're rapidly running out of time. I know that you've got, in the fall, there's another event coming up, and you've probably got things going on all year. What's happening?
Yes, we do. And our other major event is each fall in September, we have something we call Say Thanks Day, which we host for the public and military families. There's a 5K run, a 10K run. It takes place at Fort Snelling. In addition to that, we have other military activities that we think the public will be very interested in, things such as skydiving by a SEAL team of actual Navy SEALs. Last year, we were fortunate enough to have the traveling Vietnam Wall and so forth. We also have two other events in the state that support us we also support, and that is we have something called the Freedom Run, which is a motorcycle event to raise money for MMAF that takes place every year in southwestern Minnesota in Minnesota Lakes. And then we have the Patriot Ride, which takes place in Blaine, which many people are familiar with. And the Patriot Guard conducts that event, and they're always very generous in supporting us. And they're great people and great partners to have, and we appreciate it very much.
And that Patriot Ride is coming up in June, I believe, and we've got the Patriot Guard scheduled to be on the show about a month before that, and we'll have one of your board members on later in the year to talk about your fall event.
That's great. We appreciate it very much. We certainly appreciate the support you give us.
So, Barry, one last time, there's a whole group of service members that have served between 2001 and 2005, and many since that haven't applied for their grant. So we want them to go to mmaf.org, fill out an application, and you're ready to sign some checks.
We are absolutely ready to sign some checks. And if you know someone who served, ask them if they've applied for their grant. Help us out.
And send them to that website, mmaf.org. Barry, thanks for joining us today.
I can't thank you enough. We appreciate the time.
That was Barry Winslow, one of the board members from the Minnesota Military Appreciation Fund. Please go to their site, mmaf.org, and apply for those grants. Joining me now is Lisa Klink, who is the president of the Minnesota Association of County Veteran Service Officers and the Sibley County Veteran Service Officer. Lisa, welcome back to the show.
Thanks, Tom, for having me.
How are all the veterans down in Sibley County this month?
You know, they were doing pretty good, and then we got dumped with a lot of snow, so I think we're just shoveling out of snow right now.
Well, I hope none of them injured themselves with that last March snowfall. So I understand that there's kind of a new program the last couple of years. There's some type of dental care available at the VA?
You know, it's actually, there's twofold. There's you can get dental care at the VA if, in fact, you're service-connected of 100% or more. However, the VA noticed that there was a link that a lot of people didn't have, veterans did not have dental insurance. And so they collaborated with Delta Dental and MetLife to bring some plans to veterans and to get the dental care. And so one of the great things that they've done is if you go out to va.gov and search under dental care plans, you can research and get information with regard to Delta Dental and MetLife programs.
So this is a special dental insurance program for eligible veterans?
Correct. And also surviving spouses. So if you have a veteran who has passed on and he is with service connected and the wife is getting benefits, she too can get a dental plan through this program. And it's very reasonable and have on the site, they'll let you put in your zip code, you put in your zip code and they'll tell you, you know, doctors are in the area. They'll also give you plan rates and all these things can be done. I've actually done it for a few of my vets and the surviving spouses. Very easy plan, and one of the things I think is great about the program is that you, online you can actually see if there's a dentist in your area that will take this plan.
So it's reasonably priced, and it covers a good portion of the work?
Yes. I compare it to my own dental program, and it's very comparable to other programs out there. They actually online will tell you what it covers. What it doesn't cover, you know, if it's restorative or if it's, cleanings or 100%. So it'll go through and let you know what will cover and what will not be covered. So it's a great program that's allowed, because many people have, you know, medical insurance, however, or they just use the VA. I myself will just go to the VA, and if I wanted to and didn't have that offer through employer, I could get it through the VA at va.gov. So, and I just can pay for it. It will be direct, you know, you can do a, where you pay directly from your checking account and you don't even have to send them a check. They can email you a bill. I mean, it's very easy and, it's a very easy process.
Lisa, once again, we talk about this every time you're on with us, but if there's a veteran in Sibley County and you haven't met them yet, they should find their discharge and get an appointment, come in and get registered with you. And if for some reason the county veteran service officer in another county is closer or more convenient, they can do that too.
Most people want the veterans in there to get into CSU, so they're getting the benefits. Important, making sure that you get that DD-214 required, and most important, wherever you go, get help to support you.
Lisa, thanks for joining us again today.
Thanks for your time. Happy Easter.
Thank you. That was Lisa Klenk, the president of the Minnesota Association of County Veteran Service Officers and the Sibley County VSO. We're just about out of time. We have one announcement today. Public is invited to attend a Vietnam Veterans Day event at the Forest Lake American Legion Post 225 on Sunday, April 3rd, starting at 2 p.m. The 9th Annual Vietnam Veterans Day event honors Minnesota's Vietnam veterans on Tuesday, March 29th. Veteran news anchor Stan Turner will be the master of ceremony, and the keynote speaker is retired Major General, Vietnam veteran, and Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs Commissioner Larry Shelito. Thanks for listening to this edition of Minnesota Military Radio. I'd like to thank our guests for joining us this week. Christina Anderson, Colleen Hamill, Trevor Johnson, Barry Winslow, Lisa Klenk, Commissioner Larry Shelito, the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs, and finally, Minnesota's Adjutant General, Major General Rick Nash. Please join us next week as we check in with the U.S. Army Corps of Engineers and visit with the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs Gold Star Family and Women's Veterans Coordinator. That's coming up next weekend on this station or online anytime at MinnesotaMilitaryRadio.com. I'm Tom Lyons, and I hope that you make a difference in someone's life this week.
Minnesota Military Radio is a production of iHeartMedia, the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs, the Minneapolis VA, Beyond the Yellow Ribbon, and the Minnesota National Guard. Your host is Tom Lyons, founder and owner of Phelan Partners Limited, a merger and acquisition advisory firm. Tom is a life member of the American Legion, VFW, Vietnam Veterans of America, and the DAV. For podcasts and the latest updates, follow us at MinnesotaMilitaryRadio.com.